A to Z of college recruiting. This is the show where you'll learn about the latest tips and tricks on how to maximize your scholarship opportunities tenfold. You'll learn the hows, whys, and whats of college recruitment and scholarships. Let's get into it.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time it is that you're listening to the podcast. Hopefully it's good. We're back at it again with another amazing episode of the NSR podcast, episode number 26, and we're definitely not slowing down by any means. Hopefully you're all enjoying, you know, the episodes and the topics that we're covering. Hopefully you're learning something new and taking at least one thing away from each episode. That's definitely the goal. If you do have any suggestions on a particular topic, just let me know, shoot me through an email, and we'll definitely cover that, you know, put it into action and cover it over the coming weeks. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube page. Don't forget to subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on any other podcast app that you may find on the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. Now, look, heading over to the US is very exciting, and sometimes it can be or it can feel like a long wait, depending on when you start the process. A lot of the time, people can't wait. You know, they want to head over and experience the States before their actual entry date. So look, there are hundreds of different tours and tournaments and different companies that run tours. You know, there's Camp America as well. And what we're going to talk about today is, I guess, the benefits, the pros and cons of going over before your entry year, whether it be on a tour or, you know, going over to play in a tournament or go to an ID camp. Because look, sometimes it's beneficial, sometimes it's not. So we're going to cover that in today's episode. To talk about this, we'll have Marco and Matt. Matt's really, really informed on all the different camps and ID camps and tournaments and things like that. So I'll ask those guys a few questions, and we'll have some really good in-depth answers for you guys. So make sure you tune in through the whole episode. It's a really, really informative one and really important, because this topic comes up probably sort of once or twice every week with athletes and families wanting to go over before their entry year, or you know, that particular topic comes up. So as I said, tune in, yeah, it's going to be a really, really cool episode. All right, we have Marco Maizano and Matthew Stickman Wade in the building.
Hey,
for this week's episode.
I'm back. Hey guys, how we doing?
We're all doing really good.
Feeling trimmer.
Feeling trimmer.
I've slimmed down a little bit. I'm starting to see my neck again.
Good.
So that's good.
That's always good. All right, we'll start the same way we've started the last 2 weeks. Highlights? Any highlights from the weekend coming into emails from coaches?
About yesterday, you caught up with a few of the boys up in Sydney.
Yeah, yeah. So yesterday I went up to Hensley and saw a few of the boys that play for Sydney Hakoa. Watched their 18s and 20s and a bit of their firsts before I had to jump on a flight back. But good to catch up with families and see the boys sort of play and talk about a couple of the boys have some college offers. So it was good to speak with the parents in person about you know, different options and what to think. So it was a fun day for sure.
What about yourself?
Shout out to Matt Lewis.
Yeah,
we know that he loves the podcast. So him and Jordy were his son Jordy's on our program. Obviously, he's doing really, really well. He heads over next August, and yep. Matt caught up with him yesterday, which was good.
Yeah, and Billy Brunton's mom and Giles as well. They were fantastic, mm-hmm. and I can tell that. Billy's mom has been listening to the podcast because she came back with a thing full of French fries and said that I couldn't have any because I was on a diet. So thanks for looking out.
Evidently, she's been watching and listening. No, that's really good. So, look, this pathway is obviously super exciting for the athletes and families involved. And sometimes it's so exciting that they want to head over before their actual entry yeah. date. So today's episode, as I said, we're going to touch on ID camps, you know, tournaments, athletic tours as well.
Trials,
yeah. All that sort of stuff. So do you just want to maybe go over the main reasons or the main sort of ones that people want to go over to before their actual entry date?
And this actually came up three times this last week.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, three times this last week. I think what a lot of people look at are tours. you know, going on a tour, a college tour, and that's going to, you know, get you recruited. Well, no, it probably won't. In the very, very rare instance, it has. But tours are more about, I think, an experience. And we'll kind of get into that a little bit. The other thing that people think, oh, can I go and trial for colleges before I go and before they recruit me? Well, no, it's against recruiting laws and regulations for you to actually trial. Like a school can't bring you over and trial you specifically for their program. They can't do that.
And I think that the term trial comes up because I guess it's an Australian sort of way of doing it. You know, like I want to go to the UK on trial, or I've got friends in Italy, I'm going to go on trial. Like it actually comes up sort of on a daily basis. So why would the US be any different?
Different? Yeah. Right. No, it's human nature to think that it would work in the same way, but it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Like most things.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. So there's also, you know, people want to go over on holidays before.
Yep.
So you know, we help them out with potentially scheduling campus visits, whether you know, an athlete receives an offer or when they receive an offer or even before an offer, you know, families want to go over and go on a campus tour as well.
Yeah, some people will, you know, a couple times this past year, you know, one of our hockey girls as well as one of our basketball boys, they said that, hey, we're going to be in the States for 3 weeks over this period of time. We're going to be in these areas. Are there any schools that we can look at? So we help to sort of orchestrate campus visits and meetings with coaches to just really see what it's all about. Exactly. So that's again a really good good tool and a good experience.
Probably not recommended going straight to college from a holiday.
Yeah,
unless you're going to be training. Yeah. Training on that holiday. Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
And another one is things like Camp America and other camps as well. So
yeah, Camp America, for those that don't know, it's when you work as a camp counselor at some of the big, very historic, very old and with rich tradition, these summer camps that really are spread all over the U.S. A lot of them up in the Northeast, so Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Pennsylvania up there. That I worked at a summer camp, and that's where I met all my Australian friends. So when it came time to look at coming to Australia, I knew that I already had people here. So if NSR didn't work out, like at least I was going to have a good time with some friends. But Camp America changed my life, 100%. I'll always say that. That sort of put me on a path to where I've come today for a number of different reasons. So really, really cool experience going and being a camp counselor, living on camp and coaching or teaching an activity for the U.S. summer. So that's another really good opportunity.
Cool. So we'll start with the two biggest ones. So, and again, this is brought up pretty much every week, ID camps and athletic tours and tournaments. So,
well, it may help if we sort of tell the viewers and listeners, how does that even come about? And I know for certain that if you register for you're interested for any college, you go onto an automatic mailing list, mm-hmm. an automated mailing list that sends updates about schools. But it also sends special promos and offers, as most organizations do. Mm-hmm. And one of those special promos would be come
ID
to our ID camp.
Yeah.
And so because the student or the family here in Australia don't really understand the system, they get an email that says, you've been invited to attend our ID camp. Mm-hmm. Then that automatically makes the student or the family believe... okay, well, they've been invited to be identified because ID obviously identified for the camp and come and trial for the camp. So that's, I guess, how it starts off to start with.
Yeah. So what is an ID camp? Let's go over that first.
So an ID camp, most colleges with really all sports will in the summertime or during their off season period will put together ID camps. Now, ID camps are essentially fundraisers for the college.
Yeah.
I'll tell you from my experience as a head coach, I obviously had a salary to coach, but how I could also supplement some more income for myself was to use the college, promote the college, use my athletes as coaches.
Use the facilities for free.
Use the facilities for free and invite kids from all over to come and be a part of these identification camps. And really, you know, with each athlete paying, you know, anywhere from $250 to $600, depending on the camp or whatever
US
it
dollars,
is. US dollars, then that was a way for us to make money for our program. So it increased my budget for recruiting. It increased the ability for us to buy different equipment and different things. But it was also a way for me throughout the summertime and in the off season to earn a bit of extra money for myself as a coach.
Mm-hmm. But in America, the ID camps, for an American, they know that it's a clinic. It's like it's a training right. session, 5-day training session. We have a lot of them here in Australia.
Yeah. Yep.
They don't necessarily use the term ID camp as I'm being identified. They're using the ID camp as
I'm going to go and get recruited from there.
Yeah, they're using it for I'm going to go and train. Get better. I'm going to train for 5 days. And I'm going to go pay $600 because I'm going to train twice a day.
Yeah, which happens, and I'm going to train with college coaches, college athletes, great facilities. Yep. They're going to push me. I'm going to get better from it.
We call them clinics, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's really like a clinic, a 1-3 day clinic. Sometimes, like I used to go to the SMU camp, and it was the Southern Methodist University ID camp, but it was a 5-day overnight experience where you live in the dorms and all that. And look, nobody that went there went to SMU.
Yeah,
like we went there because it helped us get better for wherever we did go. And I think the biggest. Like because of the perception that I'm going to be identified, like I'm going to go to these ID camps and I'm going to get identified, and I'm going to get recruited. Like that's what it's you know, again, a very very small percentage of students actually get recruited from that because
the ID camp,
there's all these other factors that have to be considered. Like let's say you go to Stanford's ID camp, all right? Well, firstly, are you a good enough player? Well, they'll find out and they'll see in that session. Two, are you a good enough student? And if you're at Stanford, then you need to be top 1% of students worldwide. Mm-hmm. You need to have the classes to be eligible to compete for Stanford. So all these things
Do they even need that position or that athlete?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly. So all these other things are factored in to you being at an ID camp that, you know, like they didn't consider those things before they invited you.
Yeah.
So you may be eligible for that school, you may not be. You may be good enough for that school, you may not be. You could be there and get identified, but the vast majority are there to go through a clinic and get better.
So what about when they say 75 coaches are going to be there at the ID camp? That's probably true.
Yeah.
There might even be more than that.
So there you go. I was looking at one over the weekend, an ID camp that someone brought up on the program. They said, I seen this ID camp in Philadelphia, so I did a bit of research. And I looked at, I went to the website and looked at that they had a list of coaches that were going to be there. It said 75 plus schools and coaches, scouts are going to be there at this ID camp. I went to UCLA. It said the guy's name that was going to be there. He was he's basically a graduate. He graduated from UCLA last year, and he's now an operations intern. So he's the guy there from UCLA looking at players. So it's not necessarily. A lot of the time, it's not even an assistant coach. That's
so. It's look, no doubt that if he saw an unbelievable player,
exactly,
he would report back.
Yeah,
but it's not like
but that happens anyway.
Exactly. And look, there are that many. Like I said, we're talking 2,800 schools mm-hmm. with athletic programs that are every single one of them is doing their own version of an ID camp, and it's just there's a lot to consider other than just being. A good enough player.
Yeah. So basically, an ID camp, you pay a fee, you go to one particular university over a weekend, you stay on campus, you eat in the cafeteria, you train, you get a taste of potentially what college life as an athlete would be like.
Definitely.
Exactly. Yeah. So do we want to go over the pros and cons of an ID camp?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll start with the pros.
Okay. The experience, the life experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100%.
The experience 100% is going to be fantastic.
Yep.
Look, like, now, because here's where a big pro of an ID camp can come into play. If you are an athlete who has been identified by a school prior to that ID camp, mm-hmm. Like currently right now, I'm thinking of two of our soccer players, all right, one male, one female, who have been invited to ID camps. But before that invite even came about, they've looked at their videos, they've looked at their grades, they've gone through the recruiting process, and ultimately they've been identified. So because they can't invite that individual athlete to campus to train with their current team mm-hmm. or be a part of you know, that kind of thing. What they can do is invite them to an ID camp where there's a lot of athletes. The opportunity is open to everyone. And there will be a lot of athletes there, but those coaches are only – they're there to look at the athlete that they invited.
Yeah. So if they know that they want you, then it's a pro because you can use that to just – it's like the
– to like solidify the
deal. Icing on the air.
Yeah, solidify that, like – like, you know,
icing on the cake, the cherry on the
cherry on top.
Yeah, that's it. And it's the good thing is that, you know, coaches can pay for official visits. You know, they can pay for flights and they can do all that. And some of these big schools, like we've got a girl now that's speaking with University of San Diego, mm-hmm. You know, national level player, great player. She's been speaking with the school for about 4 months now. Has sent through all of her academic details, video, everything has been properly evaluated. And what San Diego has come and they've done is they've invited her now to come and be a part of their ID camp. But really what that is for them, it's for her to see the campus, meet the coaches. It's a legal way for them to see her play a bit and see her technical ability, but they've well and truly already have evaluated her technical ability in the last 4 months. So it's just getting her to campus and, like I said, sealing the deal.
Yeah.
Same thing with another boy who's already he's in the States right now.
So that's on the odd occasion, sealing the deal. We've talked about the experience.
Yeah, you get a bit of a taste of what college can be like. You get the training, unbelievable facilities. Potentially get the
bit of a holiday.
Play exactly, bit of a holiday.
Yeah,
holiday.
Well, you're going to meet a bunch of other kids as well, so you'll make some. Guarantee you'll make some friends and some people that you'll stay in contact with over probably quite a while.
Yeah.
And you're getting to train and play somewhere different that's new and exciting and it's good.
Exactly. Get to travel to another country.
Yeah. If the intentions of a tour or ID camp is that, then you're going to get something out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think as we move into the cons, and I'm just reading the ones we've listed here, some of the ones we've listed, this is where potentially it can sort of go astray.
A little bit of maybe disappointment.
Exactly. So we'll get into the cons down. The first one I have listed down here is people go in with the thought that they're going to get scouted, which we've touched on just a little bit.
So the emails that the ID camp draft say, hey, come and be ID'd by our coaches.
And it's just the general perception that we as Australians have on what an ID camp or a trial
correct.
Would be.
Yeah.
Well, I think, look, the thing about an ID camp is that it's specific to one school.
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked about this in other episodes and really, like, if you, whether you're an NSR athlete or not, like, you want to be able to cast your net as far as possible. Look at any and all opportunities. And so to sit there and say, okay, well, over a period of 2 weeks, I'm going to go and I'm going to compete in 4 ID camps that are specific to 4 different schools, and out of 2,800 schools, you've selected 4 that you're going to go and be in their ID camp, mm-hmm. like, and hopefully you're going to get scouted from that,
from one of them,
from one of those 4.
Logistical nightmare to start with.
Yeah.
And extremely expensive.
Yeah, that's a really expensive holiday.
Yeah,
you know, to go and
just to get to America.
Yeah,
is really
to get over there, pay, you know, your flights and everything like that. Then the accommodation that you're gonna be staying in,
the fees for the ID camps.
The fees for each of the camps.
So the thought that they're actually going to be ID'd is obviously one of them. Yeah. You know, and that can lead to disappointment for sure.
Yeah.
This next one here is you know, it can be one that would be extremely disappointing. Like, the coaches aren't even there.
A lot of the time, it's not the coaching staff that are even there. Like I mentioned with the ID camp that I researched, it was an intern that just graduated from the school last year.
Right, and with, I'll again talk as my experience as a head coach, like, that was also a chance for my players to earn a bit of income to help run a camp.
Yeah,
so look, they were the ones that, especially the ones that were interested in a coaching pathway, were the ones that were running the different sessions.
Yeah.
I was obviously there and oversaw everything, you know, but again, you know, it's not necessarily going to be the head coach, the assistant coach, and the coaching staff that is running those sessions that you're in and involved in. So it could just be, you know, the athletes.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, very few athletes are actually approached by coaches and after these ID camps as well.
Well, look, an ID camp, like I said, the ID camp is specific to that one school. So you're not going to get coaches from other colleges coming to that ID camp. Yeah. You know, so again, you know, if you sit there and
we'll expand on tournaments and how other coaches
expand
on that next as well. But What about the fact that you have a false perception of college as well?
Yeah, exactly. Like if you go into, let's say, because a lot of the time tours are at these massive schools and institutions, you head to an ID camp at one particular school, that as an international, that is now your perception of
college is going to be like.
And yeah. That's all.
Well, I'll share one of my experiences. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a student apply to join our program. I think I told you boys. Mm-hmm. And part of his achievements was that he received ID Camp Player of the Week at this school, mm-hmm. this big school. Now, that's a great achievement. Obviously, you know, you've shown the coach you've done well.
Yeah.
But the perception of that athlete was that he was the best player at that camp
yeah.
for that school. And it took a little bit of time to make them understand, I guess, you know, what the ID camps are all about. So yeah.
The simple thing, though, if he was ID camp player of the week, why didn't he get recruited?
Correct. Right. Yeah. And going back to the, you know, false perception of college, like 99.9% of the players at these ID camps are American kids who just want to go and train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not looking to get recruited mm-hmm. from the ID camp. They just want to go and spend a week. They get mums and dads are looking to put their kids away for a week while they're on holiday.
Yeah.
You know, like I take my little boys to the Melbourne Victory camp. I don't think that
they're going
to
get signed by Melbourne
Kevin Victory. Muscat's going to be there looking at players. Although with their results, it probably should. But it's kind of the same example.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a Melbourne Victory masterclass, but I don't take them there thinking that they're going to go and play for Melbourne Victory.
Yeah. Same thing with basketballers looking at Melbourne United, like going to a Melbourne United camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, great. You probably learn a lot from it.
Yeah.
But are you going to sign for Melbourne United from that?
Yeah.
Probably not.
So maybe it's just the terminology that confuses people a lot of the time.
I think that could definitely be it.
Okay. So we've spoken about ID camps. Next, we'll go into tours and tournaments. So we just spoke about ID camps, which we said was a big reason as to why people want to head over a little bit earlier than their entry date. The next two big ones are tours and tournaments, athletic tours and athletic tournaments. Do one of you guys want to maybe explain what each one of those are, and then we'll get into the pros and cons?
So tournaments, obviously, where you go and play in a specific tournament over there. It might be the Surf Cup. Which is a big one.
That's a big one.
The Disney Cup.
Yeah, the Cocoa Beach Classic. Yeah. That was one that we always used to play in.
Yeah, and these are fantastic tournaments with an incredible experience that you'll have and memories that will last forever. Like I still remember a lot of the tournaments that I played in overseas when I was younger.
Yeah.
And it's given me some of the best experiences and memories forever.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cup, that's another big soccer one that is massive. Like Manchester United comes and their team's playing it. Yeah.
These tournaments are fantastic if it's taken as a tournament. It's in its purest, simplest form.
Yeah. So a tournament, you're going to have, it's usually your club team. You know, your
or
club
a select
team,
group of kids from an area.
Or a select group of kids from an area. Yeah, like a representative team or something like that that come together and they pay as a group for a discounted package to go over and compete in one
a
of these
particular tournament.
Yeah, 5-6 day tournaments. You know, and they're usually in awesome locations, like I said, you know, in Southern California or Florida. You know, great.
Well, the Disney Cup, you get to stay on Disneyland.
At Disneyland. Yeah, and like ESPN actually owns the facilities.
Yeah, and it's actually on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, everything is.
Yeah, every game is.
Every
on
game
Disney,
is streamed, and you can. Channel. Yeah, it's pretty awesome, right? So, I guess the thing is like with tournaments first. We'll talk about those, and then tours in a second. But tournaments, you know, those big high school aged athlete tournaments. You know, like there will be a lot of college coaches at those tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, there's with that many different teams of different kinds. That are there. You know, you see a lot of coaches that'll go and they'll spend the weekend or go and evaluate athletes at these tournaments. And you know, there is a possibility that in one of those tournaments that you could get approached by a college coach that's interested. But here's where you have to be careful. You have to remember that you don't know where that college coach is from. You know, like you don't know the division. You don't know his scholarship budget. You don't know anything about the school or anything. You just know that he's interested in you, and that could lead to a potential opportunity.
Yeah.
But it could also not lead to one because you don't have the right credentials to gain acceptance or whatever.
Yeah. And it could also lead to disappointment with other programs because your preference is the one who identified you at one of the tournaments, and so everybody else is second to you now. So yeah. You're not interested in them anymore because Joe Blow came and he watched you play.
Right.
But this coach, he liked you. And in,
as an athlete,
mm-hmm. has no idea who you are as a student, has no idea about your financial
capabilities.
Yeah.
And it's probably liked 50 athletes in the tournament.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And I guess this comment happens a lot because it's the same at any national tournament, anything that there's a tournament. Yes, there's always the opportunity, and there's always the success story of that one athlete who had an absolute blinder
of a tournament.
Of a tournament, and someone went and approached him after that, and then yep. you know he's moved on after mm-hmm. that. But I guess that's where, you know, the comment we sort of mentioned before, Matt, like research schools first, then you approach them.
Right. So like going to a tournament in the hopes that you're going to get scouted and that's going to lead to a college offer. That's actually, it's going at the whole recruitment process backwards.
Yeah. Mm.
Right, because you're going there with just hoping that something's going to happen. You don't know. Let's say that something does happen. You don't know where that coach is from. You don't know. They don't know anything about you. So it's then. Yet you've got this interest, and then now you need to go back and do research on do you actually fit, as opposed to looking at what you actually fit into, and where academically and budget wise and all that you fit in athletically.
Yeah.
And then going after schools with a much more realistic approach to actually accomplishing what it is that you're trying to accomplish with this.
Definitely. And I think staying on the sort of tournament side, and one of the cons as well from the previous ID camps, it's exactly the same for tournaments. Mm-hmm. It's the perception of potentially your ability as well, because a lot of the time students will go to these tournaments and they'll come back saying, I represented Australia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And on their resumes, they'll put on, we represented Australia. And Matt and Jacob and Harrison especially have to go through these resumes and remove them.
Yeah.
Because it's not true.
Right. Yeah. Like you, it is true that you played on a team that was from Australia.
Yeah.
In a tournament. But to say that you represented Australia nationally as an athlete, that's false.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when a coach looks at a resume and says, oh, represented Australia.
Yeah.
But then let's say that they go in and they watch footage and they can tell
they're not silly.
Yeah, yeah. That's not a Socceroo. That's not a, you know, yeah. a Joey. That's not a, you know, a young Hockeyroo or any of that. You know, like that's just a student that played on a team from Australia in a tournament.
Yeah.
That the coach is all automatically turned off by that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, so that's the other side of it. Yes, you do represent Australia as a team from Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
play for Australia.
Representing
Australia. You're not playing for Australia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's I guess the one thing that you know you have to sort of watch out for.
And I think the other thing about tournaments as well is who remembers the first rounds or second rounds of tournaments?
Yeah, not too many people.
No one.
So I wouldn't go to those.
No.
Yeah.
As a coach when I was recruiting, I wouldn't go to those.
No.
I would go to the finals.
Yeah.
Because those are the teams that they're the best.
Yeah, exactly. So semi-finals and finals.
Yeah.
So that's the other side of it. Yes, you can play first round football, but no one even cares. No one even notices those players.
Yeah.
It's the teams that make the finals. And don't get me wrong, not all the best players play in the finals. That does happen.
Right.
But the majority of coaches won't have the ability to watch 40 or 50 or 60 different events or different games.
Yeah.
So I'll pick the games, and typically
I would look at going to two different turn in a recruiting aspect. We would go and we would go to Memphis every year, and we would hit Memphis, and then we would shoot over to Nashville, and we would hit two cities in one weekend and watch the semifinals and finals of each mm-hmm. to see if we found players that we liked. I didn't see any of the first three games that led to those or any of that. So yeah, a lot of times that's
and a lot of these tournaments as well. Coaches are walking around with clipboards not to identify new players. It's because they've got information on players that they've already got.
Yeah. Right.
So players that they've already been speaking to for 6, 12, 18, 24 months.
That's it.
That's what is in the clipboard. It's not, hey, I just saw an absolute worldie on pitch number 2.
Yeah.
And I've noted him down on my clipboard.
Yeah. So a lot of the time
it's possible,
Yeah.
But again, just like, you know, an ID camp can work to bring in a student athlete that's already been identified. Mm. Same thing with a tournament. Like that the athletes that you're recruiting and have been speaking with also play on club teams. Mm. You get a chance in your off season to go watch further them play and how they, you know, how they play the game or you know, whether it be track and field, you know, swimming, any sport, see how check up on your recruits that you've already been working with. Yeah. So to go into a tournament blind and not know who's going to be there or, you know, what it's going to be. Yeah. And then I'm going to get scouted from this. Yeah. That's a lot of times will not happen that way.
Yeah. So I guess the pros are very similar to the ID camps. It's an unbelievable experience. You're training and competing on an unbelievable facility.
You spend a week away with your mates.
Exactly.
And just have that tournament sort of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like some of my best memories are tournaments like that, you know.
Yeah, that's 100%. It. And playing against competition that you haven't seen before. Yeah. Like that's an awesome experience, you know, and it tests you as an athlete as well. So like you're definitely going to gain something from it. Are you going to gain a college scholarship from it? Chances are slim.
Yeah.
So if you go in there with the right intentions, you get a lot out of it.
Have a great time.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and look, the cons are pretty similar as well to ID camps. You know, a lot of the time you don't know who is going to be there in terms of coaches. A slim amount of athletes are actually getting approached by coaches and receiving offers from tournaments as well.
Yeah, well, getting approached is slim, and then getting an official offer breaks it down even more.
Yeah. So tours is the next one. Do you want to explain what a tour is and how it differs from a tournament?
Yeah, so look, tours are, there's a lot of basketball tours, there's soccer tours, there's tennis tours, and ultimately it's a, you know, 10-day experience.
Yeah.
We'll use basketball as the biggest example here because they seem to be most popular with basketball.
Yeah.
You go on a tour and it's 10 days. It's going to cost you $8,000 for your flights, your accommodation, your meals, everything, your entry and all that. You're going to go and you're going to play at North Carolina, Duke, and, you know, Clemson. All right. So three different, you're going to do tours of the campuses. You're going to see the facilities. You're going to play competition there, and then, you know, your tour's done and you come back
and you're all excited because you want to go back.
Yeah and you've just seen, you know, University of North Carolina, Michael Jordan went there.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Clemson, like, unbelievable in every single sport. Duke, another just phenomenal,
especially
school, and facilities and everything, like,
yeah.
And so therefore, again, just like the cons of the other things that we've talked about, that's your perception of college now.
Yeah.
When in reality, like, unless you are playing for Australia, you're a boomer, you know, or you're an Opal.
Especially in basketball, yeah.
Especially basketball, you know, like, that, you're not going to get a sniff at North Carolina, Duke, or Clemson, or any of those big schools like that. If you're not already, before you go over...
Yeah.
Playing and representing Australia at the highest level.
Correct.
For your age group.
Yeah.
You know, so the tour side of things, though, and you guys can touch on it, like, it's awesome.
Tours are, again, great experience. A lot of the times, students who contact us after a tour can't wait to go back to America.
Yeah, that's what
they genuinely
say.
Can't wait to go back, and they're all excited about the opportunity of going to college in the US.
Yeah.
As an agency, what we have to do at that point, though, is we have to sort of bring them back down a little bit and sort of say, okay, well, I know you went on a tour to Duke, and I know you went on a tour to North Carolina or to UCLA. You're not eligible to go there, and that's why you're not. These are the reasons why, you know, athletic ability, academic ability, etc., etc. And you kind of have to sort of bring them back down.
Yeah.
But as a tour, as an experience, as a life experience, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. If financially you can afford it. It's a great holiday.
Yeah.
You know, it's an absolutely great holiday.
I guess the thing that it's one of my pet peeves, I guess, that kind of annoys me a bit is when people are selling these tours
as recruitment tours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Because I, you know, mark my words, you can say whatever you want. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work that way unless, like I said, if you're going to go, there's a couple tours that, I'm working with a few different basketball guys. Again, you're just using basketball as an example. you know, there was a, the Chinese national team was going on a tour to play at some of these other schools. I was speaking with a guy over in the States about that, and that's the national team, you know, so it could be a recruitment tour if we're talking like the boomers, you know, the U23s or U18s are headed over to play against some top competition, mm-hmm. Like that. But for the average Joe, like any kid that you know, say even good basketball players to go over and feel that yet in those 10 days that you're going to get recruited by a school. And again, it's like we use the example with soccer. Like, you don't know who's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you do get approached. Are you even eligible? All right. Do they know anything about you whatsoever other than what they can see from you on a basketball court or in any other sport that you play? Like, anything other than your athletic ability? No, they don't.
And so that kind of sort of puts us to the level of, like, how do you maximize a tour? How do you maximize
a tournament?
The tournament? How do you maximize an ID camp?
Yeah, how can you use tours, tournaments, and ID camps to actually help your college recruitment? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'd say first thing is, who's actually going to be there? You need a list of people that are going to be there. If you can't get a list of people that are going to be there, that automatically tells you that, yes, there might be people there, but you've got no idea who they are, right? It's pretty evident.
A lot of the time they'll have lists of people who are going to be there, like the one that I looked at over the weekend. But if there is no list of who's going to be there, then that's probably a red flag potentially.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Look, it could
mean... You still have a great time.
You could have 10 times the amount of people there.
Yeah.
But if you don't know who they are first, then you don't know who you're trying to impress. If you're going over with the intention of impressing them, you don't know who you're trying to impress. So knowing who's there, getting a list of people that are going to be there, getting a list of people who were there last year, mm-hmm. going back and using that list to find out, okay, what happened from that tournament last year? And it's...
How many athletes got recruited from that tournament?
Is it one? Is it 100? If it's one and there was 3,000 players that went there, then obviously that shows your odds. But if it's a regular thing, if it's, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 players
from 300,
then okay, great, it's obviously well planned.
So
getting a list before of who went there last year and who's going to be there this year,
and then you need to do a bit of research on figuring out what schools
you're
actually eligible for.
That's it. Well, firstly, understand your eligibility.
Yeah.
Like your academic eligibility. Know if you're NCAA eligible or not based on the classes that you've taken.
Yeah. And if you haven't downloaded the 12-step guide that we've got for free on the website, go to our website, go to the top right-hand corner, get your free 12-step guide. There's a section on there that helps you calculate your GPA. And the 12-step guide will actually teach you these things about the research, because once you know who it is that's going to be there, then understanding your GPA, checking your financial situation, mm-hmm. understanding your athletic ability is all part of the research that will need to go into any tour or camp that you go to.
And again, I'll use basketball as an example. If you're middle of the road basketball, like good committed player, really love the game, you're not unbelievably awesome, but you're not below average. You're right there in the middle, mm-hmm. all right? And you look at a tournament, and it's only going to be NCAA Division I schools and high-level Division II schools that you can see that are going to be there. Then look, again, you can go and have a great experience and a great time, but the chances of being recruited from that are
on scholarship.
On scholarship are very, very slim.
Yeah.
Just because of the nature of the beast, I guess, in the U.S. when it comes to that. But...
Yeah.
The research that you do prior to going, if you're an NSR athlete, letting us know, are you going to go on a tour? Are you going to play in a tournament?
In advance, not
the week before you leave.
That makes things a bit difficult.
But well in advance, because then we can let coaches know on your behalf that, you know, hey, so-and-so is going to be there.
This is great a great player.
Yeah, here's her video. Here's her information. Yeah. Here's his stuff.
They're definitely eligible for your school. Yeah. It's got the course that they're looking to study. And financially, it looks like it's going to be a good fit as well. And the student has expressed an interest in living in that part of the U.S.
Yeah. Right. Now, if you're not an NSR athlete and you're a kid that's looking at, trying to get recruited from going on a tour or a tournament or anything like that, then by doing that research, like, you can then... Again, it takes time, energy, and effort, but you can then reach out to all those coaches, provide them with your profile and your video and your stuff, let them know that you're going to be playing at this tournament. If they come, great. If you hear back from them, great. If you don't, then at least you did everything that you could to help yourself out before making that trip.
Yeah. And then after the tournament, after the tour, it's following up even with the ones who weren't there, but they said they were going to be there.
Yeah.
Sending them your results of the tournament. Yeah. If you've got some footage from that tournament,
yeah.
Which is always that's another question that you can ask the tour organizers.
Yeah.
Are we going to get footage of the tour, of the ID camp?
Yeah.
When am I going to get that? Because in that way you can sort of plan, okay, well, I need to edit it or get it sent over to the program,
yeah,
for sure.
So basically a tournament is where you'll travel over with a team, you'll compete in one location. Basically there'll be finals, semifinals, and there's a winner, there's an outcome.
Yep.
A tour is when you travel over with a team, you may do campus visits, play against a few college teams.
You may play in a tournament on that tour.
On that tour,
yeah. Like there's possibility that you could play in a tournament on that tour.
Yep.
But you'll see some campuses, yep. Like you'll see the dorms and you'll see what campus life is like, cafeteria. Yep. You'll see all the facilities at a few different schools while also playing some of the local competition.
Yeah. Awesome. So a few differences there, and the pros and cons are all similar with both ID camps and tournaments and tours. They're all very similar. But next, we'll go into a few of the others, like campus visits, Camp America type stuff, holidays, and how you can maximize those as well.
Yep.
So we've spoken about ID camps, tours, tournaments. The last thing I want to go over is sort of the smaller one, so campus visits, which that gets brought up a fair bit as well, especially after an athlete receives an offer. Family holidays, and also different camps as well. So maybe we'll start with just campus tours and campus visits.
Yeah.
And how they can be beneficial, yeah. And how you can maximize them and if there are any cons involved.
Again, I think they're a great experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a couple sides of this, right? Campus visits, like you can go and see different campuses.
Yeah.
You can go online and you can book a tour. Like if you know that you're going to be in the States and you want to go and see different campuses, then you can book a campus tour online. You're going to get a student ambassador that walks and guides you around. You know, if you don't have an offer from that school, then it is, you know, solely the experience of being able just to see.
Yeah.
The campus and what's cool and what we've helped, you know, some of our students organize is looking at different size campuses, you know, from a Division I to Division II to Division III and NAIA, a junior college, see all the different types of campuses out there, so that you know that, you know, even those 2-year colleges, amazing facilities and great, like, you know, they're just to see the differences in all the different kinds of schools, and that sort of exposure to the U.S. system and that sort of experience to see, you know, when you've seen it for yourself, like, and then let's say that you get an offer and it's not from a Division I school,
mm-hmm.
Then you still have an idea that, okay, well, I'm still going to get great facilities and this and that. So that's one really good reason to do campus tours if you've got the means to do so.
Yeah. Is it 100% necessary to do a
tour?
No. Well, there's not every family has the means to, you know, to put the money in to just go and...
Again, it's an expensive trip.
It is an expensive venture, but, you know, we're certainly not going to advise against it if you do have the ability to do that. You know, the more exposure that you get to the system, the better. Like, it just helps educate you about, I guess, the whole pathway.
Yeah. And with technology these days, you know, everything is available online.
Well, every school the majority of schools have got
virtual tours,
as well, exactly. YouTube clips. Like, that's going to give you as close to the experiences as possible. You know, like, as you mentioned, the cost to do something like that and the timing. Like, when would you actually go on an official campus visit?
Exactly.
You know? When would you do it? Yeah. Look, the other side of campus tours, though, is... You know, we have some athletes, and again, this is not everyone because not everyone has the means to be able to do this. But let's say through the promotional process, three or four college offers have come out.
Mm-hmm.
You like the looks of really all of them. You don't know which one that you want to choose, and you want to go over and see it in person, meet with coaches, and do all that before you make your decision. Great idea. If you can do it. Again, is it 100% necessary to do that? Well, no.
Mm-hmm.
But could it assist you in making a decision based on the experience that you have? 100%.
Yeah.
And let's say while you're over there, one of those options blows you away. Then you're on campus. You can then, you know, do the whole, I guess, the picturesque American signing where, you know, you've got the press board behind you and you've got the coach and your parents next to you and you're signing your letter of intent.
And if you're going on a visit like this, the coach's intention is to try and convince you to pick their school. So they're going to make you feel amazing and you're going to have a great experience.
Yeah.
Normally the coach might even take the parents away and take them somewhere separate and the other students of the team take you away.
You get to hang out, spend the night with the boys in the dorms and, like I said, experience a bit of college and get to know, you know, the guys that you be with on the team.
Yeah.
So it's, look, again, if you can do it, like it's
if you're already over there and you're looking at transferring as well, like campus visits are pretty cool as well. I remember going on a few campus visits when I was looking at transferring from my first school to my second school, and when a coach wants you to come to his school, like as Marco said, you get they treat you pretty well when you go there on a campus visit,
because they want you, like they want you to sign for their school,
pick their school.
And that's, again, it you know, if you can go, let's say you got 3-4 different options, like I said, like to feel that sort of want, you know, and to feel that feeling of being wanted at each of those schools, like it's a really good feeling. And then, you know, through your experience and which one that you like the best, you can then have a clear mind in terms of making a decision.
So it's kind of like what we said already, like if you're going to do a visit, a campus visit, do your research before to make sure that you're eligible and that school is actually the right one for you and that you have the ability, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Or make sure that the school has already provided you with an offer.
An offer, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so then you're visiting a campus that you're more than likely going to attend rather than visiting a campus
with no idea or nothing on the table or anything, hoping that maybe it might work out.
Yeah,
exactly.
It doesn't work that way.
The next one is family holidays. So if you're already over in the States and this is a pathway that you're thinking about taking, whether you're on the NSR program or not, like it's a good idea. If you're on the program, it's definitely a good idea to let us know beforehand if you're heading over to the States, because we can help you out with a bit of an itinerary and campus visits and things like that. You can squeeze it in. So
this section, I'll give a shout out to Peter Delgado and Alicia Delgado, one of our field hockey girls. You know, they came to me and they said, you know, they wanted to go and see a handful of different kinds of schools that were actually going to be realistic for Alicia. And they gave me the dates that they were going to be there. And I went through, you know, they made sure that they did it during field hockey season in the States so that they could see different games. And you know, over about a week, 2 weeks after doing a bit of research, I put together an itinerary for them that kept them, you know, really all up in the Northeast around New York, you know, Connecticut, Boston, up in that area. And they got to see 7 different field hockey games, you know, different levels from Division II to Division III, Division I. They saw the number one team in the country play, you know, UConn versus the Boston University play each other. And
they planned their holiday
around that. Yeah, that was the purpose of their holiday.
Okay.
They said, we want to go in, we want to experience the U.S., but we also want to gain a lot from it, from the, you know, the, I guess, understanding the field hockey side of things. And it was awesome. They came back. And I even put in their itinerary, you know, stop off at Six Flags amusement park, and you know, and they came back and they said, that was just, can I just tell you, that was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, most of the coaches were so nice. We got to meet with them after the game and let them know.
But their expectation was purely to visit and experience the campuses of different levels, of different sizes, and that was it. It wasn't, I'm going to take my equipment with me and
I'm going to get recruited.
Or I'm going to take my equipment with me and have a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
As well.
Exactly.
Because it was to go and observe. Like, it was to go and look. And you know, once we had mapped that itinerary out, then I was able to make contact with the majority of the coaches that they were going to be at, just to let them know, hey, we've got an athlete that's going to be at your game. Mm-hmm. Her name's Alicia. Here's her video footage. Here's her profile. Here's her information.
Yeah.
She would love to have a chance to chat with you after the game. And I made sure that the majority of the places that they went were realistic to her ability and realistic to, you know, what she wants to study, so that it wasn't she's not just flying off, you know, by the seat of her pants, just going to any different school in any which way.
It was
a very meaningful approach to a family holiday.
Yeah. And if it's the other way around as well, if you're just having a family holiday and the purpose is not to go visit schools, it's still a good idea to let us know, because you may be able to squeeze a few campus tours.
Yeah, like in the areas that you're going to be in, there's always the chance to yep. see a couple schools, because there are schools everywhere.
Yeah. Again, so look, that's we touched on holidays and campus visits. I guess one of the main things that you'll get out of any of these ID camps, tournaments, tours, like, it's the fact that when you come home, it'll just solidify your want to actually.
Yeah.
You have a new appreciation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Probably a new appreciation for the pathway, for America, yeah. and what you experienced on, like, during that experience. And I will say, you know, more than anything that you're going to gain, you know, in terms of the recruiting side of things, like whether it's an ID camp, a tour, a tournament, family holiday where it's planned, the experience that you gain from that is yeah. going to be more valuable than anything from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way that the system works. And that's not to say to not go and do it. It's a waste of time. Like, if you go into these things with the right mentality and the understanding of what it is you're going to do, then you're going to gain a lot from it.
Yeah, plus the incentive and the motivation.
Well, that's it.
Well. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, it. You know, a lot of times these tours are done in year 11 or early in year 12, and it's like, you know, then your college offers are right around the corner. It's just, I guess, reinvigorates that desire to be sure that, you know, you do everything in your power to get the best options, so yeah. that, you know, in a year's time you're back and
yeah.
you know, you're experiencing college.
You definitely come back with itchy feet. You want to go straight back over, but a lot of the time, as you said, you go over when you're a little bit younger, so you have to finish high school here first, and then there's a bit of a wait. But again, it just solidifies your want to go to the States. So there's no, like, yes, there are pros and cons, but at the end of the day, like, we think they're always,
yeah, so always identify your intentions and you'll always end up with a positive outcome.
Exactly. So exactly. any final thoughts? We'll wrap up this week's episode there. Any final thoughts on
episode? I think, you know, based on this sort of stuff, because it happens a lot, as I mentioned this week, it was at least two or three emails that I received. Just get in touch. Yep. Just get in touch and
ask the question.
Whether you're an NSR athlete or you're not an NSR athlete, just get in touch and we'll be able to sort of best advise the you know, how it's going to help you for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
But again, you know, like, I encourage anybody that has the ability and financially to go and experience some of these things. Again, go and do it. You know, like, it's only gonna, like I said, make you more excited about what the future holds for you.
Yep.
So, but look. Another good episode, I think.
Another great episode. This one may be a little bit longer, maybe closer to 50 minutes, but that's all right. But thank you for jumping on again. Probably see you next week.
I'll probably see you next week.
Probably be on next week, but don't forget, the show notes will be available if you'd rather read through the episode and get sort of the key points. But make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, any other sort of podcast app as well, in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. To stay up to date. But
Marco, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for joining me on my podcast.
Your podcast. Well, you technically own it, so. tune in next week, guys, and we'll have another really great episode for you.
Cheers, guys.